1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and in California, the UCLA campus open again to the public after police in riot gear moved in overnight to clear out anti-war protesters on campus, making more than 130 arrests. President Biden also speaking out about the escalations of demonstrations at colleges across the country.
President Biden says he doesn't think the National Guard should intervene in protests on college campuses. Asked if the demonstrations, some of which have turned violent, have forced him to reconsider his policies, the president said simply, no. He also condemned hate speech and violence of any kind.
Whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans, it's simply wrong.
Karen Travers, ABC News.
The hush money trial of Donald Trump has resumed in New York City. The judge held a hearing earlier on whether to hold Trump in contempt over new gag order violations. And Arizona's governor set to sign off on the measure passed by the state lawmakers to repeal the Civil War era abortion ban. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Mount Horeb School Superintendent Steve Salerno credits the community for keeping middle schoolers safe during yesterday's active shooter crisis.
Had it not been for our community stepping up to the plate to help support capital and operational referendums that allowed us to install safety measures, including vestibules, locked front doors and the like, this could have been a far worse tragedy.
Law enforcement shot and killed the shooter, who was reported to be a student at the school. The U.S. House this week passed a bill to remove the gray wolf from the endangered species list. It now goes to the Senate. If the bill becomes law, Wisconsin would bring back its wolf hunting and trapping season. Wisconsin has about 1,000 wolves. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Many municipalities and areas have embraced No Mow May as a way to encourage growth of food for pollinators coming out of hibernation. Julie Mazzolini with the Brown County Beekeepers Association.
No Mow May is really well intended because we want to remember that our pollinators need early blooming flowers. So we'd be cutting down and removing all the dandelions. We're removing food for them, pollen and nectar.
Check with your local municipality for No Mow May restrictions or requirements. Elijah Behnke announced his run for the 6th Assembly District through a social media post this week. Behnke of Oconto originally planned to run for the 4th Assembly District after he was drawn into it with fellow Republican David Steffen of Green Bay. However, he has since changed his mind and will instead run in Assembly District 6 against GOP incumbent Peter Schmidt of Bondwell. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Bucks in Game 6. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks face the Pacers in Indy for Game 6 in their best-of-seven series. Milwaukee down 3-2 to the Pacers. Giannis and Damian Lillard, again listed as doubtful for tonight's game. Baseball, the Brewers' Willie Adames hit 2 home runs against his former team, the Tampa Bay Rays. One in the third, another in the seventh inning. Jeff Levering on Bally Sports.
Adames, center field, Rosarena back again, and
the Brewers went on to win 7-1 to win the series. Manager Pat Murphy serving a 2-game suspension following Tuesday night's contest, so his assistant, Ricky Weeks, took over.
How soon in the day did you find out you were going to be managing this one?
About 20 minutes before the game. It's okay.
That's the Brewers' Ricky Weeks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have some rain and thunderstorms on the way today and tonight. Rainfall amounts 1/4 to 1/2 inch possible by the time everything winds down late tonight. 58 will be the high today. Wind southeast at 15 to 25. Showers, thunderstorms 49 tomorrow. Partly cloudy and warmer with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 53.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin rapper Matt Harper, who will perform in studio, and then comedian, comedy teacher, and screenwriter Rich Williams joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is Thursday, May 2nd, 2024, 6 past the hour of 12 noon, joined as always by our outstanding producer engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. We are high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. A little rain, Mr. Zommers, down on State Street across Madison. But again, spring showers bring, I guess, May flowers now. Are you there?
Yeah, sorry.
Mr. Zommer's spacing out a little bit there. But no, all good. We appreciate y'all being here. Busy day today. And we're going to be joined shortly here again by Anna Kleiber. She is from the Daily Cardinal, one of the campus newspapers here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, following up on her outstanding reporting yesterday on the situation here in Madison most specifically, but also around the country. And if you watch any of the morning news programs, either on cable or broadcast, or checked your social media feeds, things escalated overnight in California as day broke. Law enforcement moved in at the direction of the UCLA campus out in Los Angeles. And certainly there was a clash there. Things are not nearly as volatile here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus. Going to bring you an update there, as we said. And then also, about an hour ago, President Joe Biden addressed the nation, or had a short address or remarks on what's happening on college campuses across the country. We're going to bring you his remarks in their entirety. It's about a 4-minute, I would say a speech so much as remarks. So we will bring you all of those remarks from President Joe Biden here this morning. And also look at several other news stories. Donald Trump, of course, was in Milwaukee or Waukesha yesterday. Great article in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Trumpster not committing to accepting Wisconsin election results if he loses. Also from Urban Milwaukee. And all these candidates do this. You pick somebody from the community that you're in and you highlight them for whatever they do. And yesterday, Trump highlighted a business owner in Milwaukee. But according to Urban Milwaukee this morning, it turns out not everything was exactly right or accurate. So we'll have details on that. Great piece by Heather Cox Richardson on the Florida abortion ban going into effect today. And speaking of the Daily Cardinal, great story about a famous person's birthday today, turning 80 years old. And of course, your calls as well. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. But we start things off, and let's go live now to the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus, where we are joined by a reporter, senior editor from the Daily Cardinal, one of the two great student newspapers here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Anna Kleiber. Anna, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. I know you're juggling classes and everything else, and we really, really appreciate once again having you join us.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. No problem.
Well, thank you so much. I just want to get an update since we talked yesterday, and again, I really feel that your report with us yesterday, and quite frankly, the reporting that the Daily Cardinal is doing is some of, if not the best that I have seen, and I monitor an awful lot of media resources, and I want to compliment you and all of your colleagues at the Daily Cardinal, because what you're posting is, it's measured, it's accurate, it is balanced in terms of saying, look, we're gonna post this clip, but it's important to realize this is one angle. There could be others. You know, it's I just think it's great journalism, and it speaks to not only you as the reporters, but I think also the EWJ school as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's always great to hear that. We try to be as unbiased in our reporting as possible, which can be hard sometimes being on the ground, you know, and seeing fellow students, you know, protesting and being activists on campus. It gets tough at times, but we want to make sure we're putting out accurate information, and we want to make sure the vast majority of campus can see what's happening and have that reliable information so they can make their own informed decisions.
After we talked yesterday, I know that all but it appeared one, maybe two, but at least one tent was left up. And again, it was the University of Wisconsin administration, in conjunction with the University of Wisconsin Police Department, decided to move in and remove the tents per state statute, which was, you know, that is illegal overnight camping. And then they left after the tents were taken down, leaving the food, the water, that sort of thing. And then since then, it appears that more tents have gone up. Some students stayed there overnight. Update us, if you would, Anna. What is the latest from the University of Wisconsin-Madison?
Yeah, so they had originally said that no negotiations or conversations with protest organizers would occur until all the tents came down. Like you said, police did come in yesterday morning, removed all but, I think, two tents. And as of this morning, when I arrived at Library Mall at 6:20, there were about 28 tents up. As far as updates go, student organizers and faculty organizers did get the chance to meet with Chancellor Mnookin, and that meeting went relatively well, as the organizers just announced at 11 a.m. that there will be no further police action until the next meeting with Mnookin, and that meeting is expected to take place in the next 24 hours. So I'm thinking probably sometime tomorrow morning.
Yeah. We were talking with Anna Kleiber. She is the state news editor for the Daily Cardinal, one of the two student newspapers at UW-Madison. Anna, I think this is important news that there have been talks. You know, I know it's being characterized as negotiations. You know, I'm not sure whether you can negotiate necessarily with you know, the chancellor in that situation, but that's what they're calling it. You're just reporting it as what they're calling it. But I think it's good that there's dialogue. I'll use the term dialogue. And this is something we haven't always seen other places around the country. And I think it speaks to the, how should I put it? It's tempered. Is that a fair statement, in your opinion, having been there every day or not? It appears to me as more tempered than other places around the country.
Yeah, I mean, for now it's been, I mean, again, like I said yesterday, relatively peaceful. People are just kind of hanging out on Library Mall, you know, having food, conversing, doing art projects. It's relatively peaceful, and the conversations that are being had hopefully are constructive. I know, like, our organizers are calling it negotiations, whereas our university officials I've just been in contact with were like, well, we wouldn't really characterize them as negotiations. So there's a little bit of miscommunication on, like, exactly what is happening, you know, behind those closed doors in those meetings. But campus leaders have reiterated that they have been and remain interested in engaging with student concerns and having these discussions. So hopefully these discussions will continue to happen and things will remain, you know, peaceful and hopefully won't escalate to the point where, you know, police will have to be brought in again. So.
Two more quick questions, if I could, with your time. Number one, is there any sort of law enforcement presence right now around the encampment? And if so, approximately how many law enforcement would you say?
Yeah, so when I left Library Mob or head to class, all I saw, I think, we had two squad cars. I think it was just UWPD. I do know that there were, I think two officers hanging around, just keeping an eye on things. Again, like, also, it's important to have at least a little bit of police presence just in case things were to escalate or, like, you know, like, counter protesters came in. But I wouldn't say the police oversight has been anything too crazy and overbearing today. They've just had, you know, like, their normal officers in the area.
Right. To your point, I think that, you know, perhaps, I don't want to speculate too much, but perhaps just having, you know, campus police there for safety for all, not one side or the other, but just to make sure that everyone is safe. I know there was, it's been, some people are characterizing as a counter protest, but they were folks who were, my words, pro-Israel or pro-Jewish folks were there. Did not appear, from what I saw, you could confirm or set me straight, it appeared that demonstration was also peaceful on both sides as well. Is that correct or not?
Yep, they have seemed, both sides have been peacefully protesting. I know last night that there was a pro-Israeli group that came and they just kind of did like a dance like party, like they did their own thing, which is totally fine and acceptable. But it is such like a hot issue that, you know, in case something were to happen, like obviously we don't want anything bad to happen. So, everything has been relatively peaceful though on both sides, I will say, from firsthand experience.
A final question before we let you go. We're talking with Anna Kleiber. She is the state news editor for the Daily Cardinal on campus. I know as we watch this happening, similar or I was calling more aggressive types of instances in New York and California, what we're hearing in national media is they're calling them instigators, outside instigators coming in and causing some of the worst violent action. In your experience, Anna, having been there, having been a student, and being on the ground, would you say that the majority of pro-Palestinian folks that are there in the encampment are in fact students, or do you believe that there, or have you talked to anybody who is an outsider?
Most people who are protesting, I think, are students or they are affiliated with campus, from what I understand. And same with like our pro-Israeli like counter movements, counter protests. Those are mostly just UW students, you know, coming to Library Mall to voice their concerns and their opinions. So for the most part, it is a campus event. And we haven't really seen, like, I know other places have seen those instigators, people outside of the university community come in and disrupt and, you know, escalate things, but that has not been the case thus far at UW-Madison.
Well, I really, and again, Anna Kleiber, state news editor for the Daily Cardinal, thank you so much for taking time. Thank you for keeping us accurate. Thank you for your live reporting, and to all the great journalists at the Daily Cardinal and all your fellow student journalists, thank you for what you're doing. We appreciate it as the general public. We appreciate it here at the All Ball Show and Civic Media as well. Stay safe, and we'll check in with you as events warrant. Thank you so much, Anna.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Our pleasure. Anna Kleiber, the state news editor for the Daily Cardinal, doing outstanding work. Make sure you follow her. Anna Kleiber and the Daily Cardinal, doing great journalistic work. Back with phone calls and remarks from President Joe Biden on the campus unrest across America on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done.
At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It seems like the cost of everything is going up, so it's nice to save a little dough when you can, especially for something you love to eat every day. Before I go grocery shopping, I print out a coupon for a dollar off any Country Hearth, Village Hearth, or Artisan Hearth bread product. My favorite is Dakota Style 12 grain. My wife's breakfast go-to is a toasted Village Hearth English muffin. We can save a buck on each. Go to countryhearthbreads.com/coupons and print one or two out before your next shopping trip. And don't forget, Country Hearth, Village Hearth, and Artisan Hearth bread products are baked locally and delivered fresh daily.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Yeah. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lovell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Thursday, May 2nd, 2024, 20 now past the hour of 12 noon. Thanks for taking us along, Mr. Zomers, on the board. Going to bring you the remarks, and one more time, just thank you to Anna Kleiber. Very short notice, great journalist, period. She also happens to be a student at University of Wisconsin-Madison, but regardless of that, just a great journalist, giving us accurate, on-the-ground information. And we really, really appreciate her work and also that of the Daily Cardinal and all of the student journalists on campus as well. We're going to continue to talk about this for a little bit longer, this unrest on campuses, how it's being addressed across the nation and also here at Madison. And we're going to bring the president's remarks. President Joe Biden spoke on this less than an hour-ish ago or so. But first of all, I want to go to the phone lines. He's been patient. David in Mequon. David, thanks for listening and calling in. You wanted to say what, sir?
Hi, Todd. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Doing well, thank you.
Really quickly. So, you know, I've told you before that I am a Jewish individual, mm-hmm. and I was explaining your call screener. I do not feel safe going to Madison anymore. And I'll explain to you why. First of all, if you're aware, which Anna did not report, which is a little disappointing. There is a place called Comedy on State. It's actually on State Street itself. And Michael Rappaport was supposed to have a comedy show tonight. And all of a sudden, I get an email saying the show is canceled. And it's due to the fact that it's not too far from where the encampment is. It's a couple blocks away. So literally, they have refunded all the money to guests because they're actually worried that something potentially could not only happen to Michael Rappaport, but to the other individuals that were going to go to the comedy show tonight. Mm-hmm. That being said, Anna also did not report the fact that there was two professors.
David, I'll like, keep going, but I just want to make sure that we you know, keep things accurate. Number one, Anna's a student on campus, and the encampment is almost a mile away from where the comedy club is. I know that because our studios, our headquarters, are right above the comedy store.
Yes, so we're in the same building.
We're a block off the Capitol Square, and the encampment is all the way down the other end of State Street on campus. So it's not close at all, really. All right. I just want to make sure that we're accurate.
Also, another thing, Michael Rappaport has been tweeting a lot of stuff negatively about the student protests across the nation, and I believe that his show was this is more speculation, but I believe the show was canceled more because of his inflammatory rhetoric than because of any actual other danger.
So his inflammatory rhetoric, just to be clear, he was asking to have the hostages released in Israel. I'm not sure why that's considered, you know, gaslighting or whatever you want to call it. But I think that the bigger point is that that is what he's been focusing on since this whole debacle started on October 7th of last year. And so, again, I would point out that there was a couple professors that are part of that. They're actually, there was a few people who went to jail last night. And the thing is this, obviously it's not to the same level as what we're seeing in New York or you know, like Columbia University or UCLA, where you literally have Jewish students that are not able to even go to class just because they're Jewish. And so I'm just telling you from my perspective that as an individual, when I see this, these people are basically, you know, a good chunk of them are very, very anti-Semitic against Jews in general. I mean, I don't understand of all the concerns in the world that they're focusing on Jewish people in particular.
Right.
And so I think the bigger thing is I'm just trying to give, I'm not saying that everybody's bad, but I do not feel comfortable. I mean, I just don't.
I think the way you feel is the way you feel. And I don't doubt that at all. I've spoken out. I mean, I one of my closest friends happens to be of the Jewish faith. I actually lived in Israel for a time and is now back here. I know there are unrespect. There are very strong feelings. I have, from the very beginning, have said that, you know, I believe that Israel has the right to defend itself, particularly from terrorist groups like Hamas. I've also said that I think that the response should have been more tempered. I think that there should be more humanitarian aid to Gaza. I don't think that Netanyahu is particularly popular even in his own country. But, you know, I certainly have, we've had Mr. Zomers, who was that? We had a reporter who happened to be of the Jewish faith, and he came on as an individual early on when all this happened back in October.
It was Alex Scher, I believe.
Yeah, thank you, Alex Scher. And no, I absolutely denounce the anti-Semitism that's out there, as I do anybody who's, you know, any sort of hate speech on you know, either side. But yes, I fully understand that as a, I shouldn't say fully, I'm not Jewish, so I can't fully understand, but as much as I can as a non-Jewish person, I can see that. And I think it's very important that everyone feels safe as much as possible and everyone feel welcome. I can tell you, having our studios right above the Comedy Store, there have been no incidents here. I don't want to speculate on this program necessarily why this show was canceled. I'll leave that up to the Comedy Store and Mr. Rappaport. But I think your point is well taken.
Well, I'll just point out this. Obviously, Madison is not the same degree as to what you're seeing in some of these other campuses. But the thing is, this is all across the country. This is not like a few spots here and there. This is quite a few schools involved. And what's shocking to me is the fact that there are that many students that are agreeing with the Hamas-Palestinian side. And yes, you're saying it should be more tempered. But again, the Hamas is the one who's giving out the numbers as far as, like, you know, civilian casualties. So I would put a little asterisk by that as well, just because, you know, Hamas is not trustworthy, in my opinion.
And I'm 100%. I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah.
I mean, Hamas is a terrorist organization. Right. Full stop.
Right. And I will say this: this whole thing would be ended if they would release the Israeli hostages, and that's what people should be fighting for. Is get these hostages released, and then we can, then there, you know, things will definitely change for the better. But until that happens, it's going to be unrest, and it's they're using this as a political pawn. And now I see what the ICC is doing with, you know, now they're talking about criminalizing, you know, heads of state of Israel. You know, that's supposed to be used for rogue nations. Israel has, you know, as a democracy, it has judges, it has courts. It's not like some rogue nation.
Right.
So that's why I will say Biden is at least pushing back in that portion.
Yeah, we're going to hear from David.
Announcing that thing.
On the other side, Dave, we're going to hear the president's comments. I appreciate the call, David. Thank you so much, David, in Mequon. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I mean, certainly points there, but again, I would call out hate speech or hate activity on either side. But yeah, I certainly believe, as Travie Olson from the Lincoln Project said yesterday, you can be pro-Palestinian and want more aid to Gaza and also believe that Israel and support the fact that Israel has the right to defend themselves against terrorism like Hamas. The two are not mutually exclusive. Back with more from President Joe Biden. Also, your phone calls as well as the All Ball Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you midday on a Thursday. Wisconsin cheesemakers are known for offering a wide variety of high-quality specialty cheeses. To give you some perspective, the state has 117 cheese plants. 94 of them make at least one type of specialty cheese. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Wisconsin specialty cheese production grew by nearly 14 million pounds in 2023. Everegg broker analyst Zach Bauer joins us. He says the consumer demand is also growing for these premium cheeses.
I mean, I think the consumer in the last couple of years, really the last year, has really shifted their mindset back to natural proteins, natural products, natural butter. And that's why we're really seeing good demand growth in some of those specialty cheeses, specialty butters, things like that. I mean, people are back to understanding that, hey, this is a product that's actually really good for me. And that's why I think we're seeing some good demand for that growth across the globe.
Zach Bauer along with us, a broker analyst from Everegg. Stick around for a look at your midday commodity markets up next.
This is Mike.
Hey.
He's getting a quick haircut at the local barber school.
It's only $5. How bad can it?
Oh! Yikes. Don't be like Mike when it comes to weed control. Get the job done right the first time and plan ahead with Status Herbicide. It delivers elite corn safety and reliable performance, so you don't have to deal with more problems than you bargained for.
No!
Status Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to our equipment located in Dodgeville. Check out the affordable, efficient, versatile tractor line at our equipment and ask for Mr. Versatile, Chump Gill. Keep up with Pam and the entire team at MidwestFarmReport.com, on Facebook at Fabulous Farm Babe, on Instagram at Fab Farm Babe, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
From Chicago, midday commodity markets have cash corn trading up 3¾ cents at 454.5. December new crop corn is up 3.5 cents at 476¼. Soybeans continue to trade higher following strength in the overnight. Cash soybeans are up 18¼ cents at 1188.5. November new crop soybeans are up 15¼ cents at 1180¼. The only thing in the red today, July new crop wheat down $0.01¼ at 598 a bushel. The June Class 3 milk contract is up 2 cents at 1856 a hundredweight. The July contract up a nickel at 1888 a hundredweight. Staying up to date on farm and agribusiness news is easy and free with our smartphone app. You can download that at thefarmwi.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have some rain and thunderstorms on the way today and tonight. Rainfall amounts 1/4 to 1/2 inch possible by the time everything winds down late tonight. 58 will be the high today. Wind southeast at 15 to 25. Showers, thunderstorms 49 tomorrow. Partly cloudy and warmer with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 53.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
Well, Matt, this is really great. I'm glad I called your football game that night.
Yeah, me
I
too.
Still remember that. That's the last game I ever did at the Bonta Bowl.
I think that might be the last game I ever played at the Bonta Bowl also.
Yeah.
So we share that together.
What
too.
A great place that is, though.
I loved it, man. Playing on that field, it was so loud being in the bowl there. The
you're
crowd
in the,
noise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I still remember that night. It was a rainy night.
Yep.
Isn't that funny? I got weird memories of games.
It is.
Bizarre.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WIS. And on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Trump Hangover Edition. Crudy washes the MAGA out of his hair, and we take your phone calls. Devil's Advocates Radio, back to the politics.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lavelle Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. Tomorrow, we are going to be up in beautiful Chippewa Valley, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, to be exact, home of The Tap, our station up there, WFCW, or no, it's not. I always get them confused with Mr. Zomers. WCFW, there we go. The Tap up there in beautiful Eau Claire, Wisconsin. 93.5 on FM dial up there in Eau Claire. We're going to be on location, and we are going to be at the Pablo Center at the Confluence. And we're going to be there for the world premiere of the new documentary film called When the Rubber Hit the Road. We interviewed one of the filmmakers, BJ Hollers. We'll have that interview tomorrow. Also joining us live on location at the Pablo Center tomorrow in Eau Claire, our very own Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8. And also, we're getting the band back together, so to speak. Pat's former on-air news anchor partner at WEAU Television in Eau Claire, Judy Clark, will be joining us live as well. Both Judy and Pat covered the Uniroyal Tire closure back in the day. They will be there with their remembrances. And we'll also talk about the Pablo Center at large and some of the other events there if you get up into the Chippewa Valley. Or you might want to take a trip as summer approaches. It is a beautiful facility. I've been there once before. And great to be doing the show live from the Pablo Center tomorrow in Eau Claire. Right now, continuing to talk about the campus unrest across America, specifically here in Madison. Great reporting by Anna Kleiber from the Daily Cardinal. We appreciate her joining us earlier and reporting that things are very calm back at campus today after police and law enforcement removed the tents yesterday from the encampment. And her reporting is that the leaders of the student organizers of the pro-Palestinian protests have met with Chancellor Mnuchin of UW-Madison. They've had discussions, and they have agreed, according to reporting, that there will be no further police action here at Madison until the two sides speak again, which is anticipated tomorrow morning. So that is the latest. Things are calm here in Madison at the moment. Earlier today, about a little over maybe an hour ago, President Joe Biden from the White House offered remarks on what's happening across the country. Of course, in UCLA, in Los Angeles this morning, it was a very different story than what is happening here at UW-Madison, as police with actual riot gear did move in and take down these encampments. And it looked like it was much more contentious out in Los Angeles than it was here yesterday, and certainly today, where it is peaceful and calm, according to a reporting. So here now, we're going to audit this about 4 minutes long. I want to bring them to you in their entirety. I think it's important. And then we're going to take your phone calls after that. Here is President Joe Biden from the White House about an hour ago on the unrest on campuses across the country.
Put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me. The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld. We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But, neither are we a lawless country. We are a civil society, and order must prevail. Throughout our history, we've often faced moments like this because we are a big, diverse, free-thinking and freedom-loving nation. In moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. But this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not peaceful protest. It's against the law. Dissent is essential to democracy, but dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education. Look, it's basically a matter of fairness. It's a matter of what's right. There's the right to protest, but not the right to cause chaos. People have the right to get an education, the right to get a degree, the right to walk across the campus safely without fear of being attacked. But let's be clear about this as well. There should be no place on any campus, no place in America, for anti-Semitism or threats of violence against Jewish students. There is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans. It's simply wrong. There's no place for racism in America. It's all wrong. It's un-American. I understand people have strong feelings and deep convictions. In America, we respect the right and protect the right for them to express that. But it doesn't mean anything goes. It needs to be done without violence, without destruction, without hate, and within the law. You know, make no mistake. As president, I will always defend free speech, and I will always be just as strong in standing up for the rule of law. That's my responsibility to you, the American people, and my obligation to the Constitution. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, have the protests forced you to reconsider any of the policies with regard to the region?
No. Thank you.
Mr. President, do you think the National Guard should intervene?
No.
The remarks of President Joe Biden, President of the United States, from the White House about an hour ago. I thought it was I don't want to call it a speech. It was pretty short, but I thought the marks were measured. I thought that they were even-handed. I thought they were fair. I think he did a good job of saying, look, we're certainly going to protect free speech, but vandalism and breaking the law is not part of free speech. And I think that, you know, I can't speak to all these other protests around the country. I'm only here in Madison. You know, I've driven by it. I've walked by the encampment at Madison. And I think the best thing we can do is continue to have on these great student reporters like Anna Kleiber, who have our students who are there all day, all night, and bringing us accurate information and facts. And whether folks like it or agree with it or not, the state law is you cannot camp overnight on a University of Wisconsin property. And so the chancellor, after giving the protesters, meeting with them, telling them a day ahead of time, if you don't remove your tents, this is what will happen. Then law enforcement gave them a heads up, 20 minutes, told them, if you don't move, this is what's going to happen. And when they didn't, the cops or the police officers, law enforcement yesterday at Madison had shields, but they were in baseball caps and sunglasses. They were not in full riot gear. And so the only time there was ever sort of a conflict yesterday at Madison was when the line of officers with shields tried to block anybody from or you know, remove people from around the tents so they could take down the tents. And some people chose, instead of moving away, chose to push against the shields of the police officers. And that's where there were a couple of instances of confrontation. Now, you know, if people choose not to walk away after being given warnings and being told this is what's going to happen, if they choose not to walk away, then they're also, in my opinion, choosing to suffer the consequences.
Yes. And in addition to multiple days of communication in person and via email to warn, hey, the police are going to be involved if you don't move. When the police arrived, they gave a 15-minute warning like, hey, right, we're here now. We don't want to have to do anything, but we do need to, because of state law, remove the tents.
Yeah. And that's, and again, the police left the food, the water, the tables. They didn't upend anything. They left the signs. They didn't take any of the signs that I could see or that was reported. And then the law enforcement left. And as Anna Kleiber reported today, there are maybe one or two police officer or cars there just monitoring the entire situation for everyone's safety. And I think what's happening here at Madison is probably the most tempered and measured that I've seen around the country. But I thought the president's remarks were good. And I agree with everything that he said. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mark from Paradise Stack has been very patient. Mark, we appreciate it. What say you?
Yeah, not a problem. I'm a little, you know, disheartened that Dave doesn't feel comfortable coming to Madison because I think he's been a little overly cautious because I don't know that people are just, you know, running down, tracking down, you know, chasing down Jews and going after them.
I think people are entitled to their opinion. You know, how people feel, their opinion, I don't, you know, that's up to them.
Yeah, and that's why I said, you know, that I just hopefully that's not really the case. I mean, that there's other people that belong to, you know, that groups that have been oppressed in the past. Let's remember that it hasn't been all that long ago that, you know, that being gay was, you know, being accepted openly as it is now. That, and people were just getting beat up, you know, simply because they were gay. That, and it is just, you know, just sad that it's come to this, that, you know, the fracture lines that can form up over an event a half a world away that that we have very little control over at this point. I mean, Joe Biden cannot tell, you know, the Israeli government what they can and cannot do. He can advise on it. He can, you know, make his opinion known. But he has no control over Benjamin Netanyahu or, you know, the Israeli Defense Forces. That he can do what he can do, and we have to see how things shake out. Hopefully things will improve, but I mean that it gets to the point, you know, that when, you know, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind, and we have to kind of remember that there's people stuck in the middle here that had nothing to do with, you know, Hamas's attack on October back last October, and that and probably decry it, and as we all should.
Right.
That, but you know, there's, you know, tens of thousands of people now that are probably dead in Gaza. I mean that, and
I think Mark, to your point that things are happening half a world away. And look, I respect that people have passionate feelings about issues, that they want to be involved in global issues. That's all fine. People have the right to do that. But when you want to come in and do an encampment, and thanks, Mark, for the call, when you do an encampment, which you know is against the law, and then you put forth what they're calling demands, and one of them I find particularly disturbing, which is to break all ties with Israeli institutions, including the Binational Agricultural Research and Development Fund, the Moss Graduate Exchange Fellowship, and study abroad programs in Israel. I read you this right off of the so-called demands of the protesters. And I heard one of the Jewish students last night on campus talk to one of the local news organizations, who was like, I think we should talk more to each other. I think we should try to understand one another more. And as someone, a kid growing up in a town of 5,000 people in Richland Center, Wisconsin, in the late 70s, 80s, that was about 95.5% white, having the opportunity at our two-year UW school to have 16 Central American students come in when I was in college and interact with them and learn changed my life. It changed who I am. It changed my perspective. And that's why I'm such a big believer and supporter in international exchange programs. And I for the life of me, can't understand why one organization who is upset with things happening in Gaza wants to demand that a university cut off an exchange program with Israel. How are we to learn from each other? How are we to grow? How are we to have a dialogue if we don't get to know each other better? That's a baffling one to me. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Back with more after this. It's the All Ball Show for a Thursday on Civic Media.
listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheese Ball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell to me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Truth, wherever it may lead. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Zommers on the board, taking your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, off the text line. Kurt telling us or asking us here from Madison on WMDX, maybe I missed it, where was the president on speaking on the amount of force used by enforcement, unquote. Kurt, in the remarks that we played there from the president early, he didn't speak directly to the amount of enforcement other than saying that he was not in favor at this time of calling out National Guard troops or whatever, but he made it very clear that he believed that laws, all laws, should be followed and enforced. So it didn't really speak to the amount, but spoke to the fact that he thought there should certainly be enforcement thereof. Let's go up to Tim in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, where the show will originate from tomorrow at the Pablo Center. Tim, thanks for listening. We're coming up to Eau Claire tomorrow. How are you?
Good. I have a comment on this. I think a lot of these protesters are really uninformed. They're reacting to things that are happening now, but they don't know anything about all of the stuff that's happened in the past. Example was like when Yasser Arafat rejected the plan to give, I think it was like 90 or 95% of Palestine to the Palestinians. Israel agreed to it. They rejected it. So they don't know a lot about the whole history of this thing. That's my comment.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Tim. I would tend to agree with you. I think that, you know, we have some clips that we haven't played that we're kind of in our library here that we've been kind of listening to. And I think there's a lot of passion. I think there's a lot of anger for a lot of reasons by folks on college campuses right now. And I think that while people could certainly be passionate about this, I think you're correct in saying perhaps not everyone understands the complete history of this and the entire issue. That's my take on it. 855-752-4842. Dave, listening on WMDX in Madison. Dave, we appreciate your listenership. What say you?
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
I'm well, thank you. How about you, sir?
It changes every 5 minutes, doesn't it?
Just like the weather. What do you got for us today, Dave?
Yeah, it is just like the weather, but it means things can get better. Hey, I wanted a comment on these campus protests. Yeah, Dave, I don't think he was really misplaced in his position, that his view that he'd be prudent not come to Madison. I think that's a sentiment that would be accurate almost everywhere in the United States. You have that fear. Then you have the fact that the most perpetrated hate crime in the United States easily, and it's gone up several times, is attacks against Jews. And it's been that way for quite a while now. And so it's really a problem. So Jews are feeling unsafe. And then on top of that, you have things that can definitely be construed, are perceived as anti-Semitic, like, you know, expand the Intifada. The Intifada was when they blew up stuff, which I was familiar with, what they blew up, a lot of the locations, you know, where kids went, that kind of thing. And that, you know, that's how, and that's perceived as a threatening, of course, as a threat to Jews.
Right.
And another thing, this boycott of they want to boycott of Israeli universities, like Tel Aviv University, one of my alma maters. You got to be kidding. Tel Aviv right. University. Well, most of the professors there, certainly a lot of them, are very, very sympathetic to the Palestinians. That's who they are calling to boycott. They're boycotting Jews.
Right.
They have nothing to do. That might not. They, you know, they have all kinds of views on the position. So you have that in addition. So these things add up. By the way, oh, the Daily Cardinal coverage has been great.
Yeah.
I just went by the. I keep talking. Just cut me off. Actually, yeah, I just went by the.
One more minute. Go ahead.
I just went by the encampment. It seemed fundamentally different than others. You know, in the old days,
yes.
I used to organize pro-Israel protests. And then you had the anti-Israel protests on the other side. You know, I can't speak for, you know, other situations. But my experience, it was very positive. The protesters on both sides.
Yeah.
I mean, we got along great. You know,
yeah.
We coordinated things. After the protest, we go out and study together, or we go, you know, to the Rascal or whatever.
Right.
People got along. You know, this is fundamentally different. And I never suspected that they were really anti-Semitic in those days.
Yeah.
This is different with respect to that issue. And by the way, I think that your program has been great on this issue.
Thanks. I really appreciate the compliment, Dave. Appreciate your perspective and calling in. Let's go quickly to Nick in Madison as well. Let's see the WMDX. Nick, thanks for being with us and calling in and listening. What say you?
Yeah, here's the thing with the protest, and, you know, I respect everyone during the protest, but here's the thing. If you don't want to be called anti-Semitic, don't say and do anti-Semitic things. Don't say from the River to the Sea, Israel, Palestine will be free.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say worldwide intifada, which is killing Jews. Don't ignore the fact that on October 6th or 7th, thousands of women were raped as a weapon of war. Don't ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
It just really upset me.
I appreciate the call, Nick, and yeah, I do agree. And again, I think it goes back to one of our earlier callers saying that perhaps not all, but in my opinion, some of the folks that are protesting don't fully understand the history or the meaning behind phrases like from the river to the sea, which is calling for the extermination of Jewish people, which clearly it should be upsetting to anyone, but in particular, if you're a person of the Jewish faith. So yeah, I'm not Jewish, but one of the other callers brought up before, you know, being a minority, and I think they brought up being gay, which I happen to be. I've never felt particularly afraid for my safety being a gay person, but I've lived since I've been out predominantly in Madison. I'm aware of it. I'm cognizant of things going on. So if I apply that to other folks, whether they're Jewish folks or whether they're Black folks or Latino, whatever minority or group that you want to put there, when you see something or hear something that is threatening, of course you're going to feel threat. You're going to feel unsafe. So I think education is key. And that's why I'm in favor of things like international exchange programs, whether that's to Israel or whether that's to Palestine, right? The more we can listen to each other and hear one another, the more important it is. And here's what I'll say politically. The person you want in the White House, whether you're pro-Palestinian or pro-Israeli, is Joe Biden. Because the other guy, he ain't going to help you at all. We'll come back. Remarks from the former president. Mr. Trump was in Wisconsin yesterday. Not going to want to miss it. It's the All Ball Show in Civic Media.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, recombobulation with Dan Schaefer, National Space Day, Bob Bonadour from the Planetarium, and Matinair on Air's new ornithologist. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but
friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.